fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And I want to pick up on the themes we've been talking about all week. If you haven't had a chance to tune in, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. We've been talking about the preaching of the apostles in the early church and the Acts of the Apostles, the words that were on their lips when after they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're here between the celebration of both the ascension and the exaltation of Jesus Christ to the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and this coming Sunday, this extraordinary day of transformation, and that's the Feast of Pentecost, the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's that Holy Spirit that the apostles received on the day of Pentecost and that thrust them into the marketplace. And the first thing they did is they began to preach. They began to declare what God had done in Jesus. And that's really what's in the heart of the Holy Spirit, you could say. The special mission of the Spirit given to us by our Lord is to reveal to every human heart what God has accomplished in Jesus. And so that's exactly what the apostles preach when they come out from the upper room on that first day, really when the church is born by the power of the Spirit at work in them. And Monday and Tuesday, I went over the exact same passage, Acts 5, verses 30 and 32, that underline the historical facts of what Jesus has done. And here's the summary again. He tells the religious leaders of his time, they preached to the religious leaders and the people of Israel, said, "You know who Jesus of Nazareth was. He preached among you. There were signs and wonders that were performed, and he spoke with authority, and you knew that, and you killed him. That Jesus you killed on a cross. We all saw him die, but we're his witnesses now, and what we've come to tell you is that God has raised him from the dead. He's alive. He was dead, and now he's alive. And God has not only raised him, but he's exalted him at his right hand." So this person, Jesus, Mary's son, this historical person who came from Nazareth, the God-man, is alive again. And there's a life in him that was stronger than death. And he's existing in new life. And his body has been glorified. And there's something entirely new that's happened. And existence beyond death happened in him. And we're telling you, we saw it. And we touched it. And we heard him and we fellowship with him. But not only that, he was exalted and raised to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Before our eyes, he was lifted up. And he's not just a spirit. He's literally the same body, but the body's now glorified. There's something entirely new here. This is the beginning of the new creation. And so they're saying he's exalted at the right hand of God. And what we're telling you is this man, Jesus, is the Lord of everything. He's, as they said, literally on the day of Pentecost, they said he is, God has made Jesus Lord in Christ. That means Lord and Messiah, the one who's anointed and filled with the Spirit. So in the Son of Mary, one of us, in human flesh, that was fallen from God's grace, that all human beings become food for worms and literally we die. But not Jesus. He passed from death to life. And his was a new existence beyond death. He rose and will never die again. And he took with him human flesh. A person on our behalf, the second Adam, entered into glory. That's salvation. That's what the church means by salvation. Is that same reality that happened to Jesus. The Spirit that was united to Jesus that raised him from the dead, Jesus now gives to us. And this is what we celebrate. And that Spirit in life is more powerful than death. A power that death could not hold down, as the apostles said of Jesus. They said death could not hold him down. A power stronger than death was at work within him. And it's that power he gives to you and me if we receive it. That's the key. And if we do, we too will be exalted and raised to glory. So the apostles would say things like, yes, he gave us power to become children of God. We beheld his glory. And we ourselves now, because of what he's done, because of what he's poured out on us, because of what he's accomplished, Jesus, not some vague force, and most of all, not us, not something I've accomplished, that I've produced with my money and my education and my power and my prestige and my position in life or my bloodlines, none of that does us any good. Only Christ can give us what's in him. And that's what Jesus does. And we become like him. And we too enter into glory. That's what we're celebrating in these days, that humanity's destiny is not to end. We're not destined to end as food for worms and in emptiness and darkness and sadness and separation. No, we're made to live with God forever in the exalted presence of the glory of God. That's literally, friends, what you were made for. And this broken, fallen world, which is so hard, in which we experience so much alienation and pain and sadness, this is not our home. He's come to bring us home. He's come to save and rescue us. This is not just a myth to distract us from the sad realities of life. The apostles said, we saw him. We touched him. What we've seen, what we've heard, we've declared to you, the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. He's given us his life. And so Jesus tells the apostles, he tells all of us in John's gospel, and John records it, the beloved apostle, he said, unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Who passes from death to life? Who can enter heaven? The nice people? All of us who followed our dreams in this world? All of us who are true to ourselves? All of us who crafted our own vision of reality and followed our own bliss? Is it the rich and the elite, the powerful? How do you get to heaven? How do you enter this life? There's only one way. And St. Peter would say it, there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Why? Because there's no name under heaven that can give us what we need. All the money in the world, all the scientific advances that are humanly possible, all the privilege and bloodlines and education, none of it can give us what we actually need. It does us no good in the end. I'm not saying it's not good in this world to be educated, to accomplish things that we're meant to accomplish, but none of those on their own can ever even come remotely close to giving us what we need. What we need is eternal life. What we need is the Christ life. That is the life that is in Jesus. We can't create it, and nobody else can give it to us. There's only one person that's ever walked on this earth that has it. That's Christ himself. He has within himself the power of an indestructible life. And he said the Father has granted to him the power and authority to give that life to anyone whom he desires to give it to. This is the prize that he won for us. This is the reward the Father has given to him. And so Jesus desires, and he decides to use it for the sake of our salvation. And he makes an offer to us. If we acknowledge our sin and we turn to him and we repent and we believe that the Father sent him for the salvation of the world, and we accept him and we enter the waters of baptism. That's what Jesus said. Unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, you will not have life within you. Of course, we all have biological life, but we know where that's headed. Watched a TED talk last night flying home from London, England, and there was a scientist, and he's basically was making the justification, the moral requirement, essentially, that what we need to do is we need to become, at some level, to remake what it means to be human, to make us like cyborgs of various sorts that will enable us to leave this planet if we have to and live on some other planets in the world, that we're suited currently in our biological, physiological makeup to live in this world, but this world is, for one reason or another, is not going to last forever. So they said that we have a moral obligation to use all of our technology to reshape and remake what it means to be human so that we can possibly inhabit, live on other planets. Some people are working hard to figure out a way to perpetuate human existence. But guess what? Eventually, they're all going to die anyway. Doesn't matter if you're half robot, half human, doesn't matter. You're going to die. And there's a reason you're going to die. Because you don't have God's life in you. And Jesus, in his love and his mercy, has come to give you a share in that life. That's really what it's all about. But human beings don't like that. We don't want to have to acknowledge that we need anything, or that we have to rely on anybody, or that there's something wrong with us. And Jesus exposes the problem at the core of our being, which is pride, resistance to God, the desire to be radically autonomous and to be the masters of our own life and our own destiny, dependent on no one. The capacity to be able to design for ourselves what our life means, who we are. And as Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy said, the liberty is the freedom to design our own meaning of human existence and of the universe, as if there is no ultimate meaning present in it already, put there by the designer. That kind of radical autonomy, it denies that there is a designer and that there's a design and a purpose that's present. And that every kind of personal design we make ultimately is equally valid. There's a lot there on a philosophical side I don't want to go to, but the point is, God is offering to us a share in what belongs to Christ. That's our only hope. What we need, we can't create. But God has made provision, and what we need exists in the person of Jesus Christ. And each one of us was made in the image and likeness of God, and destined to become a child of God. But original sin and sin itself and personal sins at work in us separate us from that destiny. And God sent his son so that the real purpose for which you were made could be fulfilled. And if you say yes to Jesus, if you open your heart, if you turn away from sin, if you say yes to God, and when in humility you entrust your life to him and you enter the waters of baptism and you allow the old man, the sin-sick nature, to be put to death, he will raise you to new life. He will give you his life so you can live with him forever. That is God's mercy to a T, right at the heart. God bless you, friend. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing, and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.